4 years before P.G. Woodhouse turned up here at Dulwich College, a very different student was attending classes in Barry's building. I spoke to John Bardell, former teacher here and secretary of the James Caird Society, about another of the school's great alumni.
Ernest Shackleton was born in 1874 in Ireland. He went to the college for 3 years in 1887 and he left in 1890. He was not a particularly strong academic student, but he seems to have been quite good at mathematics. He didn't show any particular aptitude for games or anything like that. Anyway, he left when he was 16 and he went into the Merchant Navy and got involved with the Boer War. And then he got very interested, of course, in the Antarctic, I suppose partly because he went down to South Africa and so on. So Ernest set out in Endurance in 1914. The South Pole had already been reached by Amundsen in 1911. And so in this case, the Endurance expedition was going to be one where he was going to walk through the South Pole and come out at the other side. So he was going to walk right across the Antarctic. A party of men were dispatched to the Ross Sea side as a welcoming party, which contained 4 men. And the rest sailed in the Endurance with Shackleton, 27 men in total, to the Weddell Sea, which was on the other side of the Antarctic. There was one extra, a stowaway. Percy thought he was going to England, and of course it took him in another direction. So Ernest Shackleton had to ask permission from the King before he set sail in the Endurance, as it was at the time of the outbreak of World War I. Permission was granted, and he set off to go to the Weddell Sea. However, unfortunately, in this particular year, it was much colder than usual, and it's what known as a bad ice year, and the Endurance got trapped. The packed ice made the boat drift around, until finally, of course, the ice crushed the Endurance, and it went down. They managed to salvage 3 of the whalers, and they used them to drag themselves northerly towards Elephant Island. The 3 boats were named James Caird, Dudley Docker, and the Stancomb Wills. Now, these are all sponsors of the trip. When they got to Elephant Island, they turned 2 of the boats upside down and used them as tents. Then the James Caird was prepared for the voyage across the sea to South Georgia. Now, South Georgia is 800 nautical miles in total, which is a long way. The sides were built up by about 2 inches. And ballast was put in the bottom in order to weigh it down so that the sails wouldn't tip the boat over. And they put some packing cases on the top to stop unnecessary water coming in and also to protect, I presume, those who managed to get any sleep. Sir Ernest Shackleton took 5 men in the James Caird to go to South Georgia. Frank Worsley, he was the navigator. Tom Crean, John Vincent, Tim McCarthy, and Harry McNeish. Frank Wilde was left to look after the people on the island, and he did a very, very, very good job. Great thing about Shackleton was that he said, I'm taking a primus stove with me, and I'm taking the wherewithal so that we can have proper meals. He knew precisely what he was trying to do, was to keep their pecker up. The swell, or the waves, were just horrendous. Meters high above the boat, and they just kept going, and they had to keep on taking ice off the sides, otherwise it gets too heavy, and it must have been pretty horrendous. What is absolutely amazing to me is that there were only 2 sightings which were taken by Frank Worsley, the navigator, because it was cloud all the time, and only 2 breaks in the cloud afforded him the chance to know where he was, and he got it pinpoint accurate. Then they had a short rest on the shores of King Haakon Bay, which was on the wrong side of the island because Tom Ness was on the other side of the island. And then Shackleton said, I'll take 2 of you and we'll go over the mountain and try and get help from Tom Ness. And it's through Tom Ness that Chile, in particular, came to hear of the plight of the men. And the men were still all alive, apparently. And when they arrived, they found them all alive. The 4 men who were at the Ross Sea side of the Antarctic didn't know that Shackleton had not even got onto the Antarctic. They just carried on waiting for him, and they died because they didn't come over. Sir Ernest Shackleton gave the James Caird to one of his sponsors, namely John Quiller Rowett, who was an old Alanian and was here at the college when Sir Ernest was. Rowett then gave it to the college in 1922 in memory of them both. And we put it outside the old swimming pool. It wasn't in very good condition, and it stayed there until 1967. In 1967, the James Caird went to the National Maritime Museum, where it was restored. It came back to the college in 1985, and it was placed in the North Cloisters. And it's stayed there ever since.
It's strange to think that an Elizabethan actor manager, Antarctic explorer, Victorian architect, and popular fiction writer are all connected in this one place. Inspired by Shackleton's story, I've decided to search for a little piece of the Antarctic in London for my next podcast. I believe the lesser visited Grant Museum at University College London may have something in their unusual collection that will help me follow this scent. So that's where I'm going next.